Before I go ahead and share the word, let me ask you a question. How many of you, was that a little bit of a stretch the first time you had to give your testimony to someone? Be honest. Anybody? Was it a little tough? Okay, cool. The second time when you had to give your testimony of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was that a little bit easier the second time? Okay. So that's good. It's a great way that you kind of learn to come out of the box and come out of your shell and begin to just share. And whether it's your testimony, I call it a 2-minute testimony, because listen, if you give a testimony longer than 2 minutes, usually the enemy comes in and tries to just, you know, he brings an interruption, and all of a sudden you just missed a great opportunity to either win someone to Christ or to begin to get them filled with the Holy Spirit or whatever it might be. Amen. So that's why I always say 2-minute testimony, right? Hallelujah. Everyone say 2-minute testimony. You know, get some people, Pentecostal people, it's like becomes 102 minutes. It's like, I smoked it, I slept with it, I drank it, I snorted it. It's like, whoa, man, come on. Just reel that in a little bit, okay? I mean, come on. You know, so, but praise God. Well, here tonight, if you're ready here tonight, just go to the book of Luke. Thank you, brothers. Thank you, guys. I think that's it. Luke 24. So Luke 24 says this, verse 44. Then he said to them, "These are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that the things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they may comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and raise from the dead on the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you're witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise." Everyone say the promise. "The promise of my Father to you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Now, I want to just share a little bit tonight about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, receiving the baptism, and ministering the baptism of the Holy Spirit to people. Hallelujah. So here, it talks about the promise of the Holy Spirit. So now go over to the book of Acts. Acts. Whoops. I wonder I was wrong here. Sorry. Now, in the book of Acts, we see a lot about the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The Bible even calls it the gift of the Holy Spirit. So when the Bible talks about stir up the gift that is within you, it's not talking about the gifts of the Spirit. It's talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit himself. Amen. Now here, if you go to the book of Acts chapter 1, now in Acts chapter 1 in verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the," what? "Promise of the Father." So here's the promise of the Father, which he said, "You've heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And they said, "It's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father's put in his own authority, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So here he calls it the promise of the Father. He commanded them. He didn't suggest it to them. He didn't say, "If this works out with your church doctrine." He commanded them. Everyone say, commanded them. So he commanded them to receive what? The promise of the Spirit. So we have many churches all over the state of Indiana and all over America and all over different parts of the world that think this is optional. But this is a command of Jesus for people to be filled with the Holy Ghost, right? Otherwise, they're getting a partial gospel. I said they're getting a partial gospel. They're not getting the whole full deal. They're not getting the happy meal. They're only getting the one part. They're only getting the sandwich.
But there's a lot more than just that. You know, John G. Lake was a great healing evangelist and stuff. Many people don't know this, but, you know, he was baptized in the Holy Spirit long before Azusa Street. He was actually baptized in the Spirit a couple years before a man by the name of Charles Parham went to his town in Chicago, Illinois, in Zion, Illinois, actually. And so he went to Zion, and they were going to hold some meetings, and the church they were going to use told them they couldn't use it because they believed in the Holy Ghost and the baptism of the Spirit. And so the pastor, not Charles, I almost said Charles Finney, Charles Parham, went and said, is there someplace else we can go? And so the pastor, John Alexander Dowie, went and said, I have a businessman in my church. He's an insurance salesman by the name of John G. Lake. We can use his house. And so they ended up not doing it in John Lake's house. They actually had it in F.F. Bosworth's house, who was another businessman in his church. These were just business guys. And so F.F. Bosworth threw open the doors of his house for them to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit preached in the house. So they had these meetings in the house. And so Parham got up and preached about the baptism of the Spirit, and people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, one of which was John G. Lake. And John G. Lake went on to say this. He said this. He said, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is like this. He described it like this. He said, the baptism of the Spirit is just like the Old Testament tabernacle, the Old Testament tabernacle of Moses. He said, in the Old Testament, you have the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. The outer court is a prophetic picture, he said, of salvation. The inner court is water baptism, right? Then he said, but the Holy of Holies, come on, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Everyone say baptism of the Holy Spirit. Right? So that's what he was trying to bring across, was the importance of it. Amen? Okay. So here, Jesus is promising it. He's lifted off the earth. He tells 500 people, go get it. Only 120 obey one chapter later. 380 refuse to obey. All right? And so, but that's why this is the one distinguishing thing you see of those who are hungry. But now, at the same time, let me just say this, is that many people in the church have been filled with the Spirit, but have never prayed for someone for the baptism of the Spirit. And that's really where you begin to see revival. Let me say it like this. Revival doesn't so much begin with an inflow as it does with an outflow. Come on. Amen. And so that's really what real revival is where there's an outflow, right? So sit down, son, all right? And so this outflow of the Spirit, that takes place as we get people saved or baptized in water or baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? And in so doing, guess what? We grow. So just on Thursday night, I was ministering in Huntington. And as I was, I had six people come forward for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Never been filled with the Holy Spirit in that church. We had about 100 people there that night. And so 16 people came forward for the baptism. And then I pulled out 16 people that were pretty green who had never done this before to get them filled with the Spirit. I mean, the people praying for them for the baptism were crying more than the people who got the baptism. Why? Because they could feel the flow of the Holy Spirit into them. Come on, right? And so praise God. So I just felt like the Lord just wanted me to share that, because you've got people all over your city that have never received. I remember when I used to live in Tulsa. You're a Tulsa guy too, so we used to both live in Tulsa. I call it the years of the tribulation, but yeah, Tussarusalem, right? And we used to say this, that Kenneth Hagin put Rhema in Tulsa because he knew we'd have to use faith to live there, for sure. Wow, most of my friends work three jobs, you know, just to go to school. And so, but anyway, so we're living in Tulsa. And I remember as I was going to Rhema, I was a salesman at a jewelry store. And so as I was I was witnessing. I was always evangelizing, so I was witnessing to my colleagues and stuff. And so I was witnessing this one guy, and he was a Well, his mother was a Jehovah's Witness. So he was technically Jehovah's Witness. And so I was witnessing to this guy, and he goes, you know, you should talk to my roommate. That's what he tells me. I'm like, why? Because I think he used to believe just like you. And so that night he said, my roommate's coming here in just about an hour to pick me up. He said, why don't you talk to my roommate? I said, okay, I'll talk to him. So his roommate comes. His name is Paul. So Paul comes. He's got a girl under each arm. He walks in. He's a little bit high. He'd been smoking weed and stuff. And so they come in. And so he's waiting to pick up his roommate. So Paul walks in. And so this guy was witnessing to. His name was Alex. Alex says, Tom, Paul, Paul, Tom. So I start talking to him. And I start to talk to him about Jesus. And he goes, I've been saved. He says, I'm Baptist. I've been saved. I've been saved and water baptized. I said, that's great. But have you gone all the way into the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And as soon as I said that, tears leaked to his eyes. He goes, what is that? I said, well, you can have it, right? And as I said that to him, he goes, man, the hair is standing up on my arms, he said. He says to the girls, he goes, go home. He said, I want to talk to this guy. So that night, his roommate had to get another ride home because I took Paul home with me. I said, Paul, follow me to the house. I said, come on, we're going to get you baptized in the Holy Ghost tonight at 11 o'clock at night. And I took him to the house, and I began to just share with him over a few minutes, took the scriptures out, shared with him, laid hands on him. He received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The next thing you knew, he was enrolled in Rhema, and now he's a missionary somewhere in Mexico. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. But he had been saved, but he had been defeated as a Christian because he had never been filled with the Holy Spirit. And we've got so many believers like that. Here they are defeated. They've never gone into that very most holy place for the baptism of the Spirit. Amen. So in Acts chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Hallelujah. And it filled the whole house that they were sitting. And there appeared unto them divided tongues of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, as you keep on going here, Peter begins to preach the first sermon. And as he does, he picks up in verse 14, Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It'll come to pass in the last days, says God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Come on, right? That's Indiana flesh. Right? Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Blah, 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 blah. He begins to go on and he begins to talk about this here. Well, let me go backwards. I shared with you this morning my testimony of salvation, how I got saved. But as soon as I got saved, the guy who kind of was discipling me, he was younger than me, he began to tell me, now you need this baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, well, give it to me. He goes, I can't give it to you because this guy came from Fargo, North Dakota, and gave it to us. I said, what? I said, you got it and you don't even know how you got it? He goes, yeah. He goes, I got it, but I can't give it to you because I don't know how to give it to you. True story. August of 1982. He said, I got it, but I don't know how to give it to you. So he said, you got to go to Fargo. That's where the Holy Ghost is. He lives in Fargo. So I thought the Holy Ghost lived in Fargo. That's why I thought his address was in Fargo, North Dakota. You know, so I had to go to this Pentecostal church and get the Holy Ghost, right? Now, mind you, my Lutheran parents were not happy that I was now born again, much less wanting to talk in tongues, okay? This is like another whole level, you understand? So I went and I'm going to this Bible study and I'm on fire for Jesus and praying for people and stuff. And I was reading T.L. Osborne books on healing and I was praying for the sick. And that was September, October, November, December, January of 1983. January of 1983, my friends were going to Fargo. Well, from where I lived in western Minnesota, was about 100 miles, right? So I thought, man, I gotta go see where that Holy Ghost is. I gotta go get this Holy Ghost thing, yeah, right? So So my friends went and said, hey, you want to come with us? We'll get you the Holy Ghost. And I'm like, man, I want to go. And so I have to ask my mom and dad. I was 16 years old. And my mom and dad said, no, you can't go. And I'm like, man. So we prayed. Man, my friends and I, we prayed all week. Because they were going to go on a Sunday. Well, on Saturday, my folks changed their mind. And they said, all right, you can go this one time. So I'm like, oh, God. I get in the car and I'm like, God, listen, this is a one crack deal. We don't get to swing at this again. This is a one swing deal. You got one shot with me. This is it. I mean, so I said, so Lord, the moment, because I'd just been reading Kenneth Hagin's book on what faith is. And so I was reading that book and I said, Lord, the second they lay hands on me, I'm going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And so we drove in the car there 100 miles, you know. And that's when you had the old cassettes, you remember? And so they were playing worship, and then pretty soon you would hear it go like that. And you had to pull the cassette out and wind it with your finger. Come on, how many of you remember those days, right? You got to wind it with your finger. Oh, man, that was a good part. Hurry. And then they put it back in. And then, all right, we got to get a different tape, man. And so the whole way there. And so then we get there to the church, and as we get there to the church was packed. There was like 1,800 people there in a church that seated 1,500. So they made all the young people sit on the floor. So we're in the back of the church. But I sat like this. I had 1 foot forward, 1 foot back. I couldn't wait for him to say Holy Ghost. I mean, if the guy would have said, holy smokes, it's hot in here, I probably would have ran down to the front. That's good enough. I'll get it. I'll get holy smokes. And so I was so hungry for the baptism of the Spirit. So I went down there when he said, if you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he said, got to go to this upper room. I'm like, oh, that's where the Holy Ghost must live. He must live in that upper room up there. Okay. I read that in the Bible. He lives in an upper room. Okay. That sounds right. I mean, you know how you are as a young believer. That's what you think, you know? So I go to this upper room. And so as I go to this upper room, I'm standing there. I'm just waiting. I mean, man, Lord, the moment they touch me, I'm going to be filled. I mean, I got there before the pastor did. And so all these people came up into this room, and I'm the only one. I'm standing like this. And so the pastor kind of laughed and stuff. And so the pastor went and took the scriptures and read here out of Acts chapter 2. It'll come to pass in the last days, says God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. As he's reading those words, all of a sudden, and I start speaking in tongues. No one laid hands on me. I got the baptism before they even laid hands. So now he's explaining everything, and I'm over here speaking in tongues. And then he says, all right, now everyone go lay hands on your friends. And my friends come over to me. I'm like, hey, I don't need you now. I got it all by myself. Where were you guys the last 4 months? But I got this thing by myself, you know. But I remember back then, I remember thinking, Lord, why is it that the church is not trained to get people filled with the Holy Spirit? Why is it that we have so many sermons on so many hundreds of different things, but one of the most important things, people have never been encouraged and taught, how do you get somebody filled with the Holy Ghost? I haven't thought about that since January of 1983 until this afternoon. This is the first I thought of that. I remember thinking those thoughts, and here I am. What are we now? 30-some years later, and I'm sitting here in my hotel this afternoon just praying. I said, Lord, what do you want to share tonight? And the Lord said, I want you to share on how to get people filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm thinking, Lord, but we're doing these other kind of meetings here tonight. And the Lord just said, I want you to preach on getting people filled with the Holy Ghost. And so right before service, pastor said, whatever the Holy Ghost tells you, just do it anyway. That's what he just told me in the back room back there. I'm like, all right, Lord, I heard you. You know? So praise God. All right, now I'm going to give you several scriptures. If you want to make some notes, you can, and then we're going to pray for people and stuff. So here in Acts chapter 2, we see the infilling of the Spirit. Now, we don't see it again like this, in this same similar way again. From then on, we usually see only people baptized in the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. Now, we know in Acts chapter 8, if you want to look there real quick. In Acts chapter 8, I'm not going to read the whole story. But here in Acts chapter 8, so Philip the evangelist goes down to Samaria and preaches Christ and stuff. And so as he's ministering, there's a sorcerer that comes, right? Simon the sorcerer. So as Simon the sorcerer comes to the meeting, then what happens? It says here in verse 14, now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, right? So who, when they had come down, they prayed for them that they what? Might receive the Holy Ghost or receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. Come on, right? They received the Spirit. How did they receive the Spirit? Through the laying on of hands. Yeah. Right? So go over to Acts chapter 9. So Acts chapter 9. Okay? So Acts chapter 9 is a pivotal part of the book of Acts. If you don't know, the book of Acts is primarily about six churches. Four of them it really focuses on, but basically it's about six churches throughout the New Testament. But it's about the acts of the Holy Spirit through the church, right? But in Acts chapter 9, everything kind of shifts from Peter's ministry, and it kind of shifts over to Paul. So in Acts chapter 9, here's Paul is Saul at the time, persecuting the church, has a radical vision, is thrown to the ground. And as he's thrown to the ground, he has a vision of just an ordinary disciple coming and laying hands on him to receive the Holy Spirit and to be healed. Okay? So then at the same time, God speaks in a vision to Ananias to go to a place, to go to a street called Straight, et cetera, to go find somebody by the name of Saul of Tarsus. And so it says here in verse 12, it says, and in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come in and putting his, what? Hand on him that he may receive his sight, right? Then, okay, so then he complains to God about it. And then in verse 17, Ananias went his way and entered the house and laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me to you that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So see, he got saved on the road to Damascus, but he got filled with the Holy Spirit through the ministry of Ananias, right? So then Acts chapter 10 comes along. We see the same thing. Acts chapter 10. They were filled with the Holy Spirit again, but I want you to get all the way to Acts 19, okay? So Acts 19, is this okay tonight? Is this all right? So Acts 19, it says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and found some disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now this is 20 years later after Pentecost. This is about 20 years later. Did you receive the Spirit when you believe, Holy Spirit when you believed? They said to him, we haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit. So in 20 years, religion had already come in and gutted out a big chunk of Christianity. Come on. So in 20 years, they hadn't even heard about it. They didn't even know of this. In verse 3, and he said to them, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying the people should believe on him who should come after him. That's on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then it says, and when Paul, here it is again, laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. When Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, if you keep on going, it says here in verse 10, it says, and this continued for 2 years so that all that dwelled in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Gentiles. And now God worked unusual miracles through the hands of Paul. Okay, Paul has got so many crazy miracles, God has to make another category of miracles for Paul. He says, God did unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Isn't that awesome? So that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body and diseases left them and evil spirits went out of them. But how did all of this healing take place and baptism of the Holy Ghost take place? Through the laying on of hands. Through the transference of the laying on of hands. That's how the Spirit was released. That's how the Spirit was ministered, right? Now, if you now the interesting thing is here, twice we see in the book of Acts, we see miracles and the baptism of the Holy Spirit ministered through the laying on of hands. But if you go over to Galatians, oh man, I grabbed a different Bible this week, but I think I can find it. Galatians, I think it's, Holy Spirit, help me find it. Let me see, chapter 3, there it is. Galatians 3. So in Galatians 3, it says, O foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This is only one thing I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, watch this, he who supplies the Spirit. Now I'm in Galatians 3, verse 5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now leave that right there. Now the word supplies the Spirit is actually the word ministers the Spirit. He that ministers the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. Ah, sounds exactly like the book of Acts. Come on, right? Supplies the Spirit and works miracles. How? Through the laying on of hands, right? How does he do it? He does it by faith. He says he does it by faith. So that's how we minister the Spirit to people. We minister the Spirit by how? By faith. We not only do it by faith, but we also do it through the laying on of hands. Come on, somebody. Amen. So we get people filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, what if we just, how many of you know believers that are not filled with the Holy Ghost, even outside this church? Come on, raise your hand. Anybody? Absolutely. I mean, if we just got all the believers of Rochester baptized in the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you what, it'd be a house of, every church would be on fire. Come on, somebody. Just to get everybody filled and baptized in the Holy Ghost, and the believers that are already filled with the Spirit, get them trained not to sit, but to be active in the ministry of what? The laying on of hands. I've been prophesying this for years, and I'm prophesying it to you now, that we've entered the age now of no more spectator Christianity. Spectator Christianity is over. If you're looking to spectate, you're in the wrong business, because God is drafting an army. God is drafting an army of people, and he's mobilizing an army that'll go forth in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. That'll bring healing and deliverance and the baptism of the Holy Ghost to those that are broken and depressed. Amen. Hallelujah. I have a wonderful friend who I used to know in Tulsa. When he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, now he's the only one I ever met like this, but when he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he got the whole Spanish language. He never went one day to school ever for Spanish, but he speaks perfect Spanish. Now, he never tells anybody this, but that's how he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Excuse me, that's how he got the Spanish language, was through just speaking in tongues. And he learned instantly. It was like an instant download. He said, when I got the baptism of the Spirit, it was like, shoo, it was just like, I could never explain it to anyone. I just got the whole language of Spanish. The whole Spanish. So now he's the head of Rhema Bible Training Center in Mexico. Come on. Amen. I mean, I could tell you of times where people were baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in languages known by the people. When I was in Bible school, we heard people speaking in tongues. They said, all right, just everyone pray in the Spirit. And we heard this one gal sitting right next to me. We were kneeling in the altar, North Central Bible College, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We were kneeling and praying in the Spirit. And this young lady began to pray in the Spirit. And she began to pray as loud as she could. And the guy next to me starts crying. He was from France. He says, she's speaking perfect French. So I wanted to see. I grabbed her. I said, do you know what you're saying? She said, no, I'm just speaking in tongues. He said, no, she's not. She's preaching the gospel. She's preaching the gospel to everybody. Come on, somebody. The next year in Bible school, we were in the altar. It was just a powerful move of the Holy Ghost, and everybody's in the altar, and we're praying in the Spirit and stuff. And I'll never forget it. These two young girls from the inner city of Chicago. The one girl was speaking in tongues, and as she was speaking in tongues, my friend was from San Francisco. He's from California. And he just wept because he knew. She didn't know Spanish, but she was speaking perfect Spanish. She was speaking about the paradise, dancing in paradise, and all of this stuff, the mysteries of heaven. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. So I'm going to give you some practical things as well, but let me just kind of preface another thing. Go back to your left there to the book of Acts, not to freak you out, but I'm going to freak you out a little bit here. So look in Acts 19 again. So in Acts 19, it brings up an interesting point in verse 6. When Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So some prophesied even as well. Now, in all my ministry of 32 years, I've only seen this one time. When I used to work for Jim Baker at PTL, I used to work at a teen challenge. And so I used to counsel these drug addicts and stuff and minister to these guys. And one of the first things I'd do is get them saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost. Whew, man, it made my job easy. Man, or cast demons out. Somewhere in the midst of that, we were casting out demons. I mean, holy cow, man, oh man. And so this drug addict came, and he just wanted to fight everybody. I mean, this guy, he just loved to fight. He was from Michigan. He was from Detroit. This guy loved to fight. He would fight anyone just for fun. He just loved to, he loved to see blood fly. And so I took him in my office. I said, listen, you know, I shared the gospel with him. And I prayed with him. I said, Jerry, you need to receive Jesus. Your life is a wreck. And I began to share that with him. And I said, Jerry, I said, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, he and another guy had gotten in a fight. And so this Native American Indian, he was, the two of them had been fighting. They fought every single day. I mean, yeah, anyways. So I said to the other fella, I said, you and Jerry, you two guys sit down. And I shared the gospel. They both received Christ. And they both got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But when I laid hands on Jerry, who knew nothing of the kingdom of God, he had never even opened a Bible in his life. He was Catholic, but he had never, ever cracked open a Bible. And the moment he began to get filled with the Holy Ghost, he began to quote whole Psalms. I mean, I was weeping, man. I mean, he would speak in tongues, and then he would begin to prophesy whole Psalms. He's like, what is that? I'm like, you were just prophesying, brother. Holy cow. Come on. Amen. So sometimes we'll see a strange thing like that of the Holy Spirit when people are baptized in the Holy Ghost. So here's some practical things I'm going to throw out to you. How do you get people baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, number one, you got to find out, is someone saved? You know, ask them, number one, have you ever received Jesus? Have you ever received God's free gift of eternal life? Or whatever, however it is that you open the door. Or if you just lead that person to Christ, take them right on through to the baptism of the Spirit. They're already ready. Right. You know, get it, do it right. Just get it all in one setting, you know? That's how the early church did it. So number one is ask them. Be bold. Come on, tell your neighbor. Say, be bold. Come on, shake them a little bit. Grab them by the shoulder. Say, be bold. Come on, shake them. All right, you can't pussyfoot with this thing. You got to just be strong. You got to be bold. You need the baptism of the Spirit, right? You don't say, well, if you like to, if it's okay with your church and stuff. No, forget that. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus commands them to get it. He doesn't suggest it. He died for them to get it. Come on, right? So be bold. Everyone say, be bold. So number one, find out if they're saved. Number two, be bold. Just be bold and tell them you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? So this whole thing is by faith. So number two is you got to be bold with people to get filled with the Holy Ghost. So in that boldness, you begin to say to them, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The moment I lay hands on you, you'll be filled. If you just come with some, you know, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, well, we'll pray, and you never know what God will do. He might not do it. I know someone who's been searching for 27 years. Then guess what? They're going to sit there for 27 years. You understand? But if you boldly tell them, man, the minute I lay hands on you, you're going to receive it. Then they believe it. I said, they believe it. Yeah. Amen. So number two is be bold. Tell them you need to get it. And the minute I lay hands on you, you'll receive it. Come on, right? Number three, begin to explain to them this. Begin to say to them something to the effect of that all tongues are is another language not learned by your natural mind. That's all tongues are. It's a foreign language not learned by your mind. It could be a current language. It could be a dead language. You understand? Some languages have died. They don't speak them anymore. You understand? So there's certain languages that have been gone for hundreds, some thousands of years. You understand? So some of those languages, we could still speak in those languages. How many of you know God still knows those languages? He still knows those languages. You understand? But, okay, so number three is to explain to them what tongues is. Tongues is a supernatural language. It's not a natural language. It's a supernatural language that your brain, your peanut brain, does not understand. Yeah, but I don't know what I'm saying. I just had someone say that to me. I don't know what I'm saying. I said, were you praying to yourself? Oh, who were you praying to? God. I said, well, he knew what you were saying. Come on, right? So, amen, right? So that's what you begin to say to him. You just begin to say to him, hey, listen, you need this. You'll receive this. And what are tongues? That's what tongues are. Some people say, well, the Bible says that tongues aren't for all. No, that's talking about in the church setting. It's talking about the gift of tongues. It's not talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Everybody in the New Testament that received the baptism all spoke in tongues. Some people say, well, it doesn't say that of Paul. Well, Paul says it himself in 1 Corinthians 14. I speak in tongues more than everybody. So when did he get it? He got it when hands were laid on him by Ananias. Come on, right? Some people say, well, what about Acts chapter 8? You know, Acts chapter 8, it doesn't say any mention about tongues in there. Hey, listen, if a sorcerer is making money in witchcraft, he's not going to give money to something that is not powerful. If a sorcerer is going to pay you because he saw power when somebody were filled with the Holy Ghost, come on, somebody. He said, I want to buy this power. If you ever met someone in witchcraft, they don't buy something unless it's demonstrative. You understand? So there was something that he saw that was willing to buy it, right? So number one, ask them. Number two, be bold. Number three, explain to them what tongues are. Number four, begin to lead them in a prayer rededication or salvation, whatever. Okay? Just in case, because you don't know where their heart is. So I just do it. I don't ask for permission. I just do it. Okay. I just do it. Jesus, just say this. Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, come in. And so I just lead them in this prayer of rededication. All right. And what number is that? That's number four. Okay. So number five is this. Is then say this. Say, as you end the prayer, say, tell them to say this to God. God, the moment he lays hands on me, I'll be filled with the Spirit. I just get them to pray that out loud. It's like they release their faith in that moment. And so then I just lay hands on. And number five is lay hands on them. And then no more English. Then you just begin to lay hands on them and begin to speak in other tongues. Come on, right? So just lay hands on them and you begin to speak in other tongues. Pambro sa teta. And I just begin to tell them, listen, you have to open your mouth and speak by faith. Come on, right? Because just like everything in the kingdom works by faith. Evangelism works by faith. Come on, right? Prayer works by faith. Giving works by faith. Worship works by faith. Eternal life works by faith. Guess what? So does the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And speaking in tongues. But I say it like this. Somebody who was once filled with the Holy Spirit and never prays again in the Spirit, it's like a well that dried up that's got to be redug again. So I get them, I say, listen, if you were once filled, and they're like, I've had some people say, well, I was once filled with the Spirit, but I haven't spoken tongues in a long time. I say, come on, let's do this sucker right now. Right? And I just boldly do that, and I just lead them in that, and man, we've seen so many lives transformed. And so number five is begin to pray in the Spirit, laying hands on them, and beginning to coach them through it. Come on, speak out in other tongues. Right. Come on, help me, right? And you're kind of coaching them through it, and you're drawing them in as you're laying hands on them at the exact same time, right? And I just take a little time of praying in the Spirit. I tell them, all right, a little bit louder, because you don't want them. It sounds like a car that's sputtering. You understand? It's like, come on, kick that sucker over. You understand? You understand? So I tell them, listen, give some volume to it. Why? Because you want them to, with their own ears, hear, hey, I got it. Otherwise, if you just let them sit there, then they're going to leave and say, man, I got nothing. A little bit of spittle. That's all I got. You understand? So that's why I tell people, give a little bit of volume to it. And the moment you do it, now sometimes what I'll even do is I'll stop, disciple them, share with them what just happened. Then I'll say, let's do it again. Why? Because I want them to see that they can activate this at their will. 1 Corinthians 14:15. 1 Corinthians 14:15. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:15 says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. Not I feel led. No, I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding, right? So I begin to share that with them. You can will to pray in the Spirit. Amen. You don't have to wait for smitherinkdom in the air and a special anointing and Sister Doodad to play number 342 on the old organ that should have been shot 50 years ago. That sounds like an old cow that needs to be put out of its misery or something. Come on, somebody. I mean, I've gone to some churches where they believe that kind of craziness. Oh, no, you got to have a special feeling. No, the kingdom is not about feeling. The kingdom is by faith. Everything in the kingdom operates by faith. And this is how you and I can lead people in the baptism of the Spirit. Because trust me, I promise you tonight, God is going to give you an assignment. I promise you. God doesn't give me a message like this unless he's putting you on assignment. So prophesy to your neighbor, say, you're on assignment. Tell him, say, you've been warned. You understand? So you're going to come across some people that are going to need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is going to happen. How do I know this? Because I've never preached on this in 32 years. So I know this is a word from the Lord for every single one of us in here that, listen, God is saying to the church, come on now. Praise God for falling down. I love falling down, right? I love it when God's Spirit moves and people fall under the anointing. I love it. I love that stuff. But if you get up and you're not changed, you just got fallen down. If you don't get up and learn something to leave with something, come on, somebody, amen? It'll just be laying empty hands on empty heads. Amen? And so that's why I believe that revival is not just about what we get. Revival is about what we give. Revival is about the river that's to flow. Now, John, don't turn to John 7, but John 7 says, out of your belly will flow what? Rivers of living water. Now, one last scripture I want to give you is Revelation 22. Hallelujah. I mean, I could give you hundreds of testimonies. The Amplified actually says it so much better, but if you can look at it here. But in Amplified, it says it's so much better. You don't have the Amplified back there, do you, on the computer? Does anyone got the Amplified? You know, they call the Amplified the Ladies' Bible because there's more words. Sorry. Terrible joke. So, all right. So, Revelation 22, watch this. It says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits. Now, just for a second, don't read this like an eschatology thing. Just for a second, put away your rapture parachute, okay? Just for a second here. All right. Don't read this like an end times thing. Don't read this like heaven. Just read this like this is a vision that John is having, and it's of you. Okay? Just for a second. Just play with it. He showed me a river. Now, where did Jesus say the river would flow? Out of your belly, right? Okay. So the Bible also calls the church in Matthew chapter 5, the Bible calls the church a city, what? Set on a hill. Thank you, sir. A city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Is that true? Is that right? Okay, so look here. Now, this is in the Amplified. It says this, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. There was no longer anything that didn't exist, and blah, 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 blah. And you know what? Hold that 1 second. Let me just see. I had my notes right here. Okay, so as you keep on going, it begins to talk about out of the middle of this street flows this river. Out of the middle of this street of this city flows a river. Where does it go? It brings healing. What does it do? It brings life. It's a river of life. So what if you are that city it's talking about? What if John is prophesying of the church, saying, listen, out of the middle of the church, not out of heaven, no, out of here, come on somebody, because where is revival going to come to the city? Is it going to come from up there? It's got to come from out of our belly. It's got to come from us. So it's got to come out of the church. So where does the revival come from? It flows out of the church. Where does it flow? It comes, it brings healing. It brings deliverance. It brings eternal life. Come on, right? And it brings people in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. It brings people into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I promise you, my brother and sister, this message that I'm sharing tonight, you get people filled with the Holy Spirit, their whole lives will change. I still have people come up to me and say, I was in your meetings, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. One guy come to me, he goes, I was in your meetings in 1999, and you prayed for me, I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In 2014, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, said, lay hands on people for the baptism of the Holy Spirit in every church. That's what the Lord said to us to do. And so we began to do that in every church. Now, just since 2014, we've had thousands. I can't even tell you how many thousands of people baptized in the Holy Spirit. We've been in some Pentecostal churches where 3/4 of the church came down to get the baptism. We were in one church where the associate pastors came for the baptism of the Spirit. The whole worship team weren't even filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. I'm not even kidding you. Where the whole worship team and half the pastoral staff weren't even filled with the Spirit, and they called themselves Pentecostal. I thought, man, they need to call themselves something else. Come on, right? But I'm telling you, I prophesy to you tonight in the name of Jesus. I prophesy to you that God is going to use you guys, and the river of God will flow out of your belly. I prophesy to you tonight. You'll lay hands on people in the streets in your city. You'll lay hands on people in your living room, and they'll be filled with the Spirit. You'll lay hands on people in restaurants and Denny's and in McDonald's, and people will be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. I prophesy that to you tonight. I'm telling you. I'm not just saying that by faith. I'm telling you that's what the Lord is saying. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Just all over the house, just lift your hands toward heaven. Father, thank you right now. Thank you for the presence of God. Thank you for the glory of God. Thank you for the anointing of heaven. Lord, we thank you for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we're hungry for you, Lord. Lord, we're hungry for your move to flow through us. Lord, we don't want to be separate from it. We want it to come out of us. We don't want to just watch it happen. We want to be in the middle of it. We want to walk in the middle of the river of God that flows out of us. Come on, you just talk to God tonight. You just tell the Lord, Lord, I want you to use me. I want to be used in this river. Come on, you just tell the Lord, Lord, I want you to use me, Lord. I want you to use me. I want to be a part of this river of heaven, this river of God. This baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Will you put that song on, Holy Ghost, on there just quietly? Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you right now for the Spirit of God that'll flow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.